How was your Christmas? Perhaps less than 24 hours ago, you were sitting around a Christmas tree opening presents. What kind of presents did you receive? Are you happy with the presents you received? Do you remember what you received? I hope so, because today is literally the day after Christmas. Hopefully, the presents you received were memorable and meaningful. Yet I know from past experience that many Christmas presents are returned and then exchanged for something else. Some retail industry analysts estimate that nearly $90 billion worth of gifts are returned each holiday season. Even UPS has gone so far to unofficially deem January 3rd, a holiday, National Returns Day, where according to a 2017 CNBC report, nearly 1.5 million return packages get shipped back. Clothing and shoes made up more than 60% of returned items in 2018. In one post-holiday survey in 2019, 34% of people in the U.S. said they would return at least one of the gifts they got during the holiday season. What does this say about our gift-giving and gift-receiving habits? How we perceive a gift is important in how we view and celebrate Christmas. Scripture reminds us that God is an awesome gift giver. Jesus said regarding God, "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give what is good to those who ask him?" In James 1:17, it says, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow." And with this in mind, we know that God has given to us what was most precious to him and what we truly need. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. This morning, I would like for us to consider the following question. Christmas is over. Now what? We live in a very busy time in which we move from one activity and event to the next. By this Saturday, we will be looking at 2021 in the rearview mirror as we begin the new year. So what happens after Christmas? For some of you, you get a whole week off until the new year. However, for some, it means going back right to work starting tomorrow. For the Japanese, New Year is another time of great celebration. Thus, right after Christmas is a time to make preparations for the new year. For some, it is the post-Christmas cleanup and giving thanks time. It is a time to take down the tree and decorations and to send out thank you cards for the many gifts that you have received. So I ask again, Christmas is over. Now what? I'm asking this question to myself as well, because I am just as prone as anyone to rush into something new or quickly return back to my regular routine. I believe we can all agree that Christmas is special. Yet I believe we spend much more time preparing for Christmas than we do taking the time to reflect and respond to its significance afterwards. Like some Christmas presents that are opened but then unused and forgotten, the gift of Jesus may be celebrated on Christmas and not revisited thereafter until the following year. Faith is the only proper response to God's gift to us And we are especially reminded of this at Christmas time. John chapter 1, 9 through 13, it says, "There was the true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." In this passage of Scripture, Jesus is described as the true light coming into the world. It also mentions Jesus as the creator of the world and how he was indeed in the world, and yet how people did not know or recognize him and did not receive him. In fact, we learn from Scripture that his own, that is the Jews, did not receive him. They actually outright rejected him. Yet it is promised in this Scripture passage of the rewards of placing our faith in Jesus. "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Here is the truth of God's gift to us. It has to be received by faith. It means receiving Jesus and believing in him. Those who receive Jesus and believe in him become children of God. They are brought into a right and intimate relationship with God. We are reminded that this relationship is not based on human effort or achievement, but is of God. One has to be born of God to be his children. We call this being born again, and it is made possible supernaturally through the work of the Holy Spirit coming to reside in those who place their faith in Jesus Christ as their Savior. Such is the wonderful reality of responding in faith to Jesus, the Son of God, the greatest and only true Christmas present. However, like any present or gift that is given, it has to be received. The beautifully wrapped package in the outstretched hand of the giver will do the receiver no good until he or she reaches out and takes it. I have shared this story before, but right after my wife, Yunike, and I got married, we flew from Los Angeles to Japan. Yunike was working in Japan, and so I was going to join her there. During our flight, a stewardess approached us with a cake in a box. She said that the cake was a gift in celebration of our marriage, a congratulation cake. So what did I do? I told the stewardess I did not order such a cake and refused to accept it. Can you believe it? How stubborn can I be? I didn't receive the cake because I didn't order it. I didn't receive the kind, generous, and thoughtful gift from another person who obviously loved me. As we got off the plane, I saw the cake in the box sitting on the counter. That image is still burned into my mind's eye. Needless to say, Yunike and I did not enjoy that cake because we did not accept it. Likewise, receiving God's gracious gift of eternal life in his Son Jesus Christ is necessary before a person can benefit from it. Also, receiving a gift from someone else does not constitute a meritorious act or good work. Like the cake that was gifted to Yunike and me, receiving it would have simply been a response to the work of another person. the cake was paid for by someone else. All I needed to do was to receive it. Jesus has already been given. It is based on his work that we can become children of God and enjoy eternal life. I hope Jesus is not left under your Christmas tree unopened. So that we don't end up doing this, I thought it might be good to return back to the Christmas story one more time and learn about a proper post-Christmas response. Let's take a look at the shepherd's response to the Christmas message. Let's place ourselves in the midst of these shepherds. These shepherds were going about their business, staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. We see that these shepherds had no connection with the birth of Jesus at that very moment. They were not expecting or looking forward to anything extraordinary. And then an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And their first response was that they were terribly frightened. This was a sudden turn of events. This was something extraordinary happening in the midst of their mundane activity. Thus, they were terribly frightened. Not only did they not expect to see an angel, but they had never seen an angel before. Its beauty must have been terrifying. We read on, but the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there was born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The angel had a message for them. It was good news of great joy for them and for all the people. For that very day in the city of David, that is Bethlehem, right by where these shepherds were, a Savior who is Christ the Lord had been born. He was born for them. And then a sign was given to them. The angel said, "You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." I mentioned a couple of Sundays ago that a sign was given to King Ahaz concerning the coming Messiah nearly roughly 700 years prior to Jesus' birth. "Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call his name Emmanuel." Interestingly, we know now that both signs pointed to the same child, Jesus, and this child's coming was to be celebrated. And so the angel celebrated, and suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." Now we see the shepherds' response to their encounter with the angels and the news and sign that was given to them. Verse 15 of Luke chapter 2, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Here is the thing. When God gives you a sign, it demands a response of faith and obedience. When King Ahaz was given a sign, he was supposed to trust God and obey him. Instead, he went his own way and trusted in his own plans, which eventually led to his destruction. Yet when Joseph was shown the same sign, that is the prophecy given to King Ahaz, as evidence of Mary, who was a virgin, having conceived a child by the power of the Holy Spirit, he trusted in God and followed God's plan and will for their life. Thus here, we see how when the shepherds were given a sign, they too trusted in the message given to them by God through the angel. We see their enthusiasm and urgency in their response. Let us go straight to Bethlehem then. They didn't hesitate at all. They didn't dilly-dally. They made straight for Bethlehem to see if the sign that was given to them was indeed true. It wasn't unusual to see a baby wrapped in cloths, although we know this is a special type of cloth, but it would have been strange to see a baby lying in a manger. Being shepherds and thus keepers of sheep, they had no problem finding the place where the manger was, a place where animals were fed and kept. By going to see, the shepherds' faith was strengthened. For we read, so they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. In following the instructions given to them by the angel, they saw that the sign was indeed true. They now stood in the presence of the one the angel declared to be their Savior, who is Christ the Lord. One commentator expressed the encounter in the following manner. It is a lovely thought that the shepherds who looked after the temple lambs were the first to see the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Coming face to face with the truth of what they had heard and now seen, the shepherds became bold witnesses of their encounter with the angels, sharing what they had seen and heard about the child lying in the manger. And finally, the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as it had been told them. So, what can we learn from these shepherds in terms of a proper response to the Christmas message? First, they took to heart what they had heard. They responded in faith to the sign that was given to them. They went to see Jesus. For us today, how often do we take to heart what we hear about in the Bible? Do we respond in faith to God's instructions to us? Do we enthusiastically seek Jesus? This should not be just a Christmas season response. It should continue with us post-Christmas and daily. Secondly, the shepherds also shared about their experience and what they knew concerning Jesus with those around them. They became witnesses of Jesus. For us today, how often do we make mention of Jesus in our conversations with others? Do we witness to the wonderful work of Jesus in our lives? Do we intentionally seek to glorify Jesus? Again, this should not be just a Christmas season response. It should continue with us post-Christmas and daily. Lastly, the shepherds glorified God and praised God for all that they heard and seen. For us today, how often do we give glory to God and praise Him for all that we have heard and seen? Do we take the time to recognize and acknowledge His good work and give Him praise? Once again, this should not be just a Christmas season response. It should continue with us post-Christmas and daily. I am always encouraged to see many people come to the church for worship services on Christmas and Easter. But if I may say so, coming to the worship services for just Christmas and Easter is like showing up only to one's birthday and funeral. Now we know Easter is more than a funeral. It is the celebration of a resurrection of Jesus. イースターっていうのはお葬式というよりも本当にイエス様の復活のお祝いでありますけども。
But being there for a person's birthday and funeral is good, but it does not constitute sharing life with that person. The reason that we come together to worship God every week is so that we may learn from Jesus' life, his teaching, and lifestyle. That is what we do as a church throughout the year.The other 50 Sundays besides Christmas and Easter. And we continue to worship Jesus. We continue to share Jesus with others. This is true on this last Sunday of 2021, as well as the first Sunday of 2022, next Sunday. It should also be true of every Sunday during the year.As we look ahead to 2022, let us continue to walk with Jesus and worship Him. So my challenge for us on this day after Christmas is to not forget Jesus or take Him for granted, but receive Him joyfully, daily praise Him and share Him with others,and worship Him corporately together with the church family on a weekly basis. Let us pray. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so grateful for Your love toward us. 愛する父なる神様、本当に神様の私たちに対する愛を心から感謝いたします。We thank you for the sending of your Son, Jesus Christ.
私たちに御子イエス・キリストを送ってくださり、心から感謝いたします。
We thank you that Jesus is to be celebrated every day.
そしてイエス・キリストは毎日私たちがお祝いするべきお方であることを感謝いたします。
We thank you that we can celebrate Jesus because he is with us even today.
そしてそのイエス様を私たちがお祝いできるのはイエス様が今も共にいてくださるからであることを感謝いたします。
Father, we pray that we could share Jesus with others and be excited about Jesus.As the shepherds were.
どうか神様、私たちがこの羊飼い飼いたちが本当にイエス様を祝い、イエス様によって本当に、すごく感激してエキサイテッドだったように、私たちもそのようにおられますように。
And Lord, that we would continue to worship you.
そして主よ、どうか私たちが続けて主を礼拝することができますように。
We pray that to be true as we look forward to the new year.
そしてそのことが新しい年に入るに従って私たちがさらに主を礼拝していくことができますように。
We thank you for your many blessings and we pray your blessings upon each person here.
主にある多くの祝福、恵みを感謝します。そしてどうか続けてここにいる一同の上に神様の恵みを注いでください。
We thank you and pray these things in Jesus' precious name.
これらのことをイエス・キリストの御名によってお祈りいたします。アーメン。
Peace.
May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. 青い子犬が湧くは、我らの主イエス・キリストの恵み、父なる神の愛、そして聖霊の交わりが、私たちと共に今も、とこしえもあらんこと。アーメン。